You are now listening to episode 32 of the official Dom J Radio Show, Accountability Seizing. Thank you for streaming the show on whatever digital streaming platform you may be using. Let's go. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in on whatever digital streaming platform you are listening to. Thank you for liking the show. Thank you for subscribing to the channel, to the podcast. Thank you for sharing the show with friends and family. How y'all doing, world? I hope y'all have been staying blessed, drinking plenty of water, staying less stressed, and minding your business. All right, so on this week's show, of course, there's been a lot of headline news with a certain murderer being convicted by a jury of his peers. So you definitely know we're going to jump into that, my thoughts on it, and what we can expect moving forward, as well as the other latest news and stories that I'd like to recap all that after this brief message. Good food, good life. Pure life begins now. That's why I drink a Nestle Pure Life purified water. A future full of possibilities starts by drinking pure quality water. Please be sure to empty and replace caps. Recycle plastic. The cap is a small part and poses a choking hazard, particularly for children. Pure life. Nestle.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent JJ, a.k.a. Agent Double J. I got a question. Pfizer CEO comes out and says, "Hey, I miscalculated a little bit. Looks like y'all gonna need a third booster." Oh, you know what? Let me double check these numbers. Oh, sorry, player. You gonna need a booster every year. Oh, my God. What's your take on that, bro? Me, personally, it's another win for Big Pharma trying to get the money from the people. Unless they make it free, then I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, bro, I'd like to say that I was surprised, man. But I tweeted about this damn booster shot shit, like, before even I think the age restrictions had been dropped below 50, I just saw it coming. And I think it was either Moderna or Pfizer like a month ago or so, a couple months ago, saying that, you know, it was most likely going to have some sort of booster shot in addition to the other two shots you were going to have to take if you got the vaccine from them. So I guess this is really moving right along as expected. And of course, Big Pharma wins. So whether the shot is free to the public or not, for them to even have to make a third additional shot, they're going to get paid. The distributors, the whole nine, everybody is going to win in that sense. But it's like the scientists who, you know, made us, who, you know, came up with the damn vaccine in the first place are saying that, you know, you're going to need immunity as the coronavirus wanes over time. You're still going to need that booster shot to continue fighting it, I suppose. I don't know if it's going to be exactly like the flu shot. It's a similar situation in one sense, but I've never even heard of, when you're trying to protect against something like the flu shot, having to get a flu booster shot. That ain't something I've never heard of. So I think this is a very novel situation again. It's the nature of immune responses that after they have been induced, they spike and stay for a little time, but the time immune responses wane, and we see indications for this in the induced, but also in the natural response, rather, against SARS-CoV-2, says one of the scientists that was speaking with CNBC. So, oh man, you got to get it within 12 months of being vaccinated. So if this is really going to be the perpetual new future, the new normal that we have to live with, I guess if you're going down that path, you're going to have to do it. I'm sure that Moderna's going to have a possibly similar situation if the efficacy for everybody taking these two dose shots is in the 90 percentiles and above. well, why would only one of them need a booster shot? Why wouldn't the other shot need a booster shot? My single shot of the J&J might need a booster shot. I know we got that illegal right now, you know what I'm saying? You can't even really get that no more. But it's okay, people. I am not one of the 6 out of 7 billion people that were impacted. Thank you all for your concern in that aspect. I am doing well sitting here. Let me see, looking at the calendar, basically 3 weeks out from when I got my single shot, your boy is A-okay. But I think the booster situation, I guess if you're okay with it, if you think you really need it, because again, this is all elective in the first place, whether you get vaccinated or not. I would assume if you're getting the first 2 doses of it, and the people who shot you say, hey man, you might want to come back in a year because we may still be battling this, all these variants popping up, and you do have some reports of vaccinated people still getting COVID, because again, most of these shots are protecting against the severe sort of symptoms, all right? That doesn't mean you can't still catch it. So of course, still washing your hands, wearing your mask. That washing your hands thing is something everybody should have been doing in the first place. Then if you're not, you're gross and you're nasty. But getting back to it, I think this is just going to be, I guess, the new normal. Now, I don't know how long they're going to project that out, because if it was me, there wouldn't be no way, unless it's always going to be free. I'm coming out here to get injected year after year after year. I don't know if we're going to be fighting COVID like that for the foreseeable future, but it's looking like, at least with all these variants popping up in 2021, man, if you're getting the shot early right now, go ahead and plan that into your calendar. Set yourself a little reminder for it. A year from now, you're going to need that booster.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent JJ, a.k.a. Agent Double J. Hey, you just dropped the episode, Free Healthcare Season. And then Johnson & Johnson's come out and be like, you know, we got 6 out of the 6 million. I mean, it is a low number. People come up with blood clotting. FDA says, hold it. We about to pull all Johnson & Johnson. Pause that vaccine. What's your take on it, bro? You just got the vaccine. Do you got superpowers yet? And if you do, let me know so I can go ahead and get my shot too. I'm trying to get superpowers.
Yeah, bro, I got that illegal, man, that J&J. Unfortunately, man, even though I'm sitting here basically 3 weeks out from when I got it, no sign of it yet, man. My superpowers, I guess they're still latent. Dormant until I guess absolutely needed in the right sort of scenario, like you see in TV or movie where I gotta rescue somebody or do something there, and maybe they'll pop out then. But as I sit here today and record the podcast, nah, man, no new superpowers, unfortunately. But in all seriousness, yeah, man, they paused it. I think it was a smart decision. I think it was the right decision because, of course, when you're getting new information, obviously you have a certain amount of it from the clinical trials. That's how you can, you know, give people an idea of what the side effects are going to be. But even with that sort of information and the efficacy rate available before you get it, how people respond to it is going to be different. Fortunately and unfortunately in that same aspect, because you never want anyone to come down with blood clots. I've had family members die from that sort of thing before. It's something where, like you're saying, in this particular case, we're talking 6 out of over 6 million doses administered. And again, it's that one dose shot in that particular instance. So you can do the math on that. Pull out a calculator if needed. If you're struggling, go ahead and add those figures up. But it's, only been in women. And it's between a certain age range. I think it was like 18 to 50 or 24 to 50, somewhere in there. And so, you know, unfortunately for those ladies that they've had that experience, but I think it was the smart choice, obviously, when you're getting new information. Because again, it's still novel, man. These vaccines are to prevent against the worst sort of case scenarios, but it doesn't mean you still can't contract coronavirus or COVID in the first place. The long-term ramifications, because again, we're still in the first, you know, year and some change of really dealing with this and learning about it, the novelty of it, the long-term implications and ramifications if you get it, whether you have mild or severe symptoms. It's all still a learning work in progress. So again, in the same sense of, you know, Pfizer and I assume Moderna down the line coming out with the booster shots and saying, you know, from the time you get it 12 months later, you may need a new one. with all these variant strains popping up, I think it's just smart science in that sense. So I hope they continue to employ caution, continue to make these sort of smart decisions. The FDA, the CDC, all these people, the WHO, all these alphabet boys and groups, just continue to observe the science and make smart scientific decisions when you're trying to do what's in the best interest of public health. So if I get superpowers between now and the next episode, or whenever they stop being laden, bro, I'll definitely let y'all know. And thank you, bro, for listening to that episode. If you haven't already and you're listening to this, go check out that episode, Free Healthcare Season of the Podcast. Thank you for listening to the official Dom J Radio Show. The channel features artistic originals, special guest features discussing education and culture, and my takes on the latest news and sports. Subscribe to Official Dom J on WordPress and YouTube for more. In other news, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that this 420 was a very special 420. Shout out to all those that celebrated for the inherent reasons. But on this particular occasion, Derek Chauvin was found guilty of all charges in George Floyd's death this past Tuesday, if you will. The first count of second degree murder, which is unintentional killing while committing a felony, found guilty. Second count, third degree murder, perpetrating an imminently dangerous act and evincing a depraved mind, found guilty. The third count, second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating unreasonable risk, and you guessed it, found guilty on that charge as well. So I think, you know, if we're thinking of justice, do I feel that justice was served in that sense? No, because we still have to wait another 8 weeks or so for sentencing, and the judge could decide to be lenient on him because he has no prior convictions. But if we're looking at the scale of it, the possible maximum sentences, we have 40 years for second degree unintentional murder, 25 years for third degree murder, and 10 years for second degree manslaughter, which adds up to, for those that may be struggling with that math, 75 years. I believe this fucker is in his late 40s, so he could be 100 and something, hopefully dying in between there, because obviously not living past 100 and something. But his bail was immediately revoked. And like I said, sentencing will be in 8 weeks, so we'll be in the dead of summer at that point in time. So will I say justice has been served? Like I said, not until we really get to sentencing and we can see what this judge leans towards. Because again, with having no prior convictions, a lot of this could be knocked down. I'm seriously doubting he faces anywhere near the maximum for any of these charges. If you're listening to the news and keeping up with it, you hear a lot of number of pundits saying it could be as minimal as 10 years total served, concurrently and not consecutively, which would be a disservice for this man to be mid-40s and be out in his mid-50s back to live life and roam the streets as a free person again after murdering somebody in such a heinous and negligent fashion. That would be very offensive. But the judge that will be sentencing has been one that, you know, based on things Maxine Waters said earlier, was thinking that the defense could have reason for, a retrial, an acquittal. So I think, I don't know, man. I want to be very happy about it. In the moment, obviously, happy that accountability was served. As this is episode 32, that's the title of this episode, Accountability Season. I'm here for it. Like I said on the last episode, when you have others who have such power that we hold in such high regard that are public servants, when we're talking doctors and lawyers, firefighters, when mistakes happen, bro, you hold people accountable. You have to hold these types of people to a higher level of accountability because that is inherent in the nature in which they have signed up for. That's just 1 + 1 = 2. regular everyday citizens, we all have a common level of accountability to ourselves and to others, to those that we may be in charge of, if you're a parent or a caretaker, anything of that nature. But when you sign up to be a lifesaver, a life changer in certain capacities like the police, life enders, there is a higher level of accountability to be had in those capacities. So I'm happy to see that the jury, comprised of his peers, jury makeup, I believe, was 6 white people, 4 black people, and 2 of multi-race. So, you know, there are your 12 jurors. I'm pretty sure that's the construct. I know it was majority, if we're breaking it down per race. It was majority white people in that sense. So can't say that the jury was slanted in either sort of direction. Jury selection is as random as it comes. If you've been on the internet, like I have, you've seen people talking about what the jurors look like and all of that, just in the sense of these are the people that they selected to determine this. Jury selection is as random as that. So if you're expecting the jurors to look a certain way or have some sort of profile, then you're an idiot and have no idea how that process works. So to be, you know, antagonizing those people, just thank those people for just doing their job. It's not an easy task, but I think when you're looking at the job that they are tasked with in that moment, they're just doing what they, as other human beings, see is fit. Just looking at the evidence, looking at the circumstances, and making their decision accordingly. And this is how they felt in this particular instance. So again, thank you to the jurors. Thank you for doing your job. I hope George Floyd's family, again, can continue to seek justice. I hope that with the sentencing, it alleviates and allows them to breathe a little even more than these convictions and the charges do at this current point in time. So I think it's a step in the right direction, but it's only a step. I won't get too ecstatic, like I said, because again, still got to wait on sentencing to see what the judge ultimately does. Because again, Minneapolis, they have another situation on their hands, like I was talking about in the last episode with Dante Wright and the murderer there. So with this sentencing, I think, you know, if the people of Minneapolis feel a certain way about it, they may be vocal about it and let you know about it. There's one of the places that, despite the new laws being put into place that are hindering people's ability to gather and protest, that's going to be one place that continues to do what they want. So depending on how this judge sentences, man, it could be very interesting in the summer for Minneapolis. But accountability season, I'm here for it. And I think if you're thinking from a purely logistical standpoint of anybody being in positions of power, power gives you a certain level of control. Exercising that control in certain capacities is what determines whether you're a good person or a bad person. We all make mistakes. Mistakes are made, but certain levels of mistakes come with certain levels of consequences. So when you're making actions, and understand that there are going to be reactions and consequences, and this is just that. In other culture news that I wanted to speak on that's connected to sports in a sense, Kobe's Nike contract expired on the 13th of April this year. Vanessa Bryant, who's obviously the widow of the Lakers legend, told ESPN, she's quoted as saying, "Kobe and Nike have made some of the most beautiful basketball shoes of all time, worn and adored by fans and athletes in all sports across the globe. It seems fitting that more NBA players wear my husband's product than any other signature shoe." Now, it's unfortunate because, according to a source, Bryant and the estate had grown frustrated with Nike limiting the availability of Kobe products during his retirement, and obviously after his unfortunate untimely death in January of 2020 from the helicopter crash, there was even more frustration over the lack of availability in kids' sizes as well. And obviously during those sorts of moments, you're gonna have people buying things in excess because they become instant memorabilia, man. Nike sources said, had presented an extension offer that was not in line with the expectations of the sort of ongoing lifetime structure similar to the Nike contracts held by MJ and LeBron. Vanessa Bryant has also stated as saying, my hope will always be to allow Kobe's fans to get and wear his products. I will continue to fight for that. Kobe's products sell out in seconds, and that says everything. So I think, man, it sucks because, like I said, man, we're talking about a legend, talking about, obviously, you know, from a personal aspect, one of my idols, one of the all-time great basketball legends that we do have, that you can't find his shoes in any sort of regular capacity. I was just doing a general search for my size of Kobe's shoes, bro. And when I tell you, you could not find anything in like I was on the Nike website. I was in Hibbett Sports. I was looking at Champs. I was looking at Foot Locker. All these sorts of outlets like right around my vicinity. And they're pulling up shoe sizes that are like 4, 5, 6, and 7. I'm like, bro, y'all don't even have the just basic Johns and in a 10, 11, 12, 13, nothing. They're skipping size. It'll go from 10 to like 14. It's like, bruh, y'all are killing me, Smalls. I had to stop myself from buying some oversized Johns just to say, man, I just want these. I ain't never really rocked no 14, but your boy might be able to make it stretch. I'm like, Dom, you wildin' right now. You're wildin' out. But I don't want to end up paying one of these eBay or StockX booster boys some $400-$500 just for a pair of shoes. And my thing is, because I don't even wear tennis shoes, especially my real nice ones, out all that often. And my profession is mostly business attire and, you know, semi-business attire. So I'm typically wearing slacks and khakis or whatever and what have you with business shoes. So I don't even spend a lot of time enjoying that sort of shoe to really be out here paying that much for it. And that's just how I look at it, because I would wear them. That's the thing about it. Eventually, I end up wearing them. So I don't know, man. It's unfortunate. Like I said, if you know anybody or any links, any sites that are trustworthy, because I don't be out here using all these other apps and all that jive. I like to be able to touch my shoe, smell it, look at it, have it in hand physically before I make that purchase. If you know a way, anybody that's got the connect, legit hookup, holler at your boy, man, because I am also trying to get my hands on some, because the NBA players also are reaching out in that same capacity. You have members of the Lakers and other people in the NBA saying, look, man, if you got your connects, send them my way, because obviously with the deal ending, it's going to be hard to find more Kobe and Nike products. Rest in peace to the Mamba, though, man. We'll never forget about you. And again, man, I'm looking for them shoes, man, in the 13. Holla at your boy. In other culture news that I felt obviously appropriate to share this week in particular, we have actor Jaleel White, famous for his cultural touchstone role as Steve Urkel in Family Matters, the show I put up there right in the mix with Martin and Fresh Prince, with Fresh Prince reigning supreme over all of those shows from the early 90s, Debate Your Mama, is entering into the cannabis industry through a partnership with 710 Labs. White's new cannabis line called It's Purple features variants of the popular cannabis strain Purple Urkel. It is set to launch on April 20th of this year. Ironically enough, the brand will be on dispensary shelves in California to start, potentially growing to more marketplaces in the future. And I was happy about this news because he also, in a video with Snoop, showed you him, you know, obviously some odd years after Family Matters has ended, but he still essentially has the rights to show up as Urkel as he pleases, man. So that means that man's got ownership in that sense, and obviously ownership in this new venture. And I'm always here for Black excellence, so definitely wanted to shout out one Mr. Jaleel White, man. Good news, I think, coming out of this week, because I think, again, We don't have enough of it, I think. I ain't talking about the weed specifically. I'm saying enough of people making changes, people taking new ventures, taking ownership, building on a brand that they embodied. If you played a role on TV for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, people call you that when you're not in that sort of role. You definitely want to reprise the rights to that because, again, man, you never know when that could be useful for you to connect to another future venture. So I'm always here for Black excellence and definitely wanted to highlight that story this week.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent JJ, aka Agent Double J. And hey, I just want to stop by again to let you know, but Dom, you killing it, man. Hey, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work, bro.
In music for your consideration, I know it's been a minute, man, but I've really been enjoying some new products and some old productions as well. So if I had to give a sleeper album, something that really slipped under the radar that I didn't know, I was just going through my Spotify playlist, reworking some, trying to reorganize and set the vibes up as I wanted them. But there was an album called Love Train 2. I think her name is Asian. It's spelled like Asia with H-N on the end of it. So that's how I'm saying it. And it's a smooth R&B tape with some beautiful sounds on it. Couple selections out of that tape. If you're looking for them to throw into your R&B playlist, I would definitely recommend Lost in London and Drip off of that Love Train 2. Something else I've been listening to that you might have saw me drop a song from was Miguel's new project and EP, Art Dealer Chic 4. I like Funeral and Thinking Out Loud off of that one. A nice little EP, something to hold everybody over. Aura 3 by El Hay was an album that dropped earlier this month, so not as old as the first R&B tip, but definitely, again, a new artist that I've had like one or two songs from, man. I'll find that one or two songs and then you go back to the playlist, think about it, and you're like, man, what else does this person make? That's how I end up finding out a lot of new artists and new music there. So he's definitely got a lot of wavy stuff on this project. He's got Rick Ross feature, Masego feature, Xavier Omar feature, and just some solo tracks that are also smooth as shit. And the last album that I definitely don't want to forget is Cordae. Dropped an EP, not an album, an EP called Just Until. You know what I'm saying? Something to see you soon, see everybody soon. His album's almost done. Those are his words that are plastered on the album cover, or the EP cover rather. Nice little four-piece with features from Q-Tip and Young Thug on that. So if you're vibing to something else, man, I'm definitely always in the mood to find out what's hot, what people are listening to. You also had the album Young Stoner Life, which is a Young Thug and Gunner production featuring everybody and they mama. They got Drake, they got T-Shawn, Lil Keek, Future, Big Sean, and a bunch of other people on one of these famous, you know, sort of compilation albums. We got 10, 15 people on the cover. That kind of sets the tone and the stage for what that's going to be. But I like some songs off of there. You had Superstar with Future, solid featuring Drake, which is, I'm sure, going to be one of the lead singles anytime you have Drake on something. You also had Moneybagg Yo dropping an album today as well. So I don't know. I like Moneybagg Yo, bro. I don't know if that's weird, but I like majority of the products that man put out, and I don't even be into all that gangster shit like talking about, but dropped the album called A Gangsta's Pain. Definitely putting that into rotation today as well, and that is music for your consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Episode 32, Accountability Season, episode 32 of the official Dom J Radio Show. Again, thank you all for liking the show, for tuning in, staying, and giving me those listens on a weekly basis. I can say that because your boy has been consistent. Again, shout out to my bro JJ for the voicemails and the topics. Appreciate you stopping by the show, bro, showing that love and support. Please, y'all, continue to watch out, be vigilant at all times, continue to drink plenty of water, get plenty of rest, and mind your business. I hope blessings for each and every one of y'all listening to this. And until the next episode, peace.